Welcome to the deep dive. You sent us something really interesting, Christian Ethics. Session 9, Eclectic Models of Christian Ethics by Dr. James S. Spiegel. Our goal today is basically to cut through the complexity, get right to the heart of what Dr. Spiegel is saying. Think of this as your express route to grasping a pretty interesting approach to ethical thinking.
Yeah, exactly. We're diving deep into Dr. Spiegel's whole idea of an eclectic approach to Christian ethics. And what's really compelling is his argument that, the most complete understanding doesn't come from sticking to just one viewpoint. It's more about thoughtfully bringing together different ethical perspectives.
Right. And to see how this works, we're going to look at the three main pillars Dr. Spiegel discusses. First, how our actions actually play out, in the real world. That's the utility and consequences side.
Okay.
Second, our duties and what's inherently right or wrong. And third, the kind of people we strive to be focusing on virtue. Okay, so let's unpack this.
That's good.
Dr. Spiegel kicks off by asking a really basic question. For Christians, is there like one single ethical theory we should all follow?
And what's interesting right away is Dr. Spiegel's answer. He actually argues against locking ourselves into just one way of thinking about ethics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whether it's solely about the results of our actions or strictly following rules or just focusing on character, he suggests that a richer, more complete Christian ethic comes from this blending of different insights.
So instead of saying it's all about the outcome or, just follow the rules no matter what, Dr. Spiegel's advocating for a more multifaceted view. And the first facet he brings up is utility and consequences. What's the core idea there for us?
Well, the fundamental idea is looking at the impact of our actions. Do they tend to lead to good outcomes or bad outcomes, pleasure or pain? It's about the ripple effect, really, of what we do.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Spiegel is careful to point out that scripture isn't exactly like, the utilitarianism you get from Bentham or Mill in philosophy.
Right.
However, if you look across the Old and New Testaments, you consistently see a strong emphasis on the results of people's choices.
That's a great point. You absolutely see stories all through scripture where actions have very clear positive or negative results for individuals, for communities.
Yeah, totally.
So even if it's not framed as some kind of philosophical system, there's definitely an awareness there of how our behavior affects others. So the first key insight here is a truly Christian decision always considers the real-world impact on people, both positive and negative.
Precisely. The biblical narratives, the teachings, they're just full of examples showing how our actions have consequences. So yeah, while the specific philosophical label of utilitarianism might not fit perfectly, the underlying principle of considering outcomes is definitely there.
Okay, so that's consequences. Makes sense. Now, breathing on that idea that the impact matters, Dr. Spiegel then introduces the second crucial pillar, duty and deontology. What's the central concern here?
So here the focus shifts. It shifts to our obligations, to justice, and to the inherent rights that people have. It's about whether an action is right or wrong in itself, regardless of whether it leads to a good or bad outcome. Think about rules and commands. That's really the heart of deontology. And as Dr. Spiegel points out, scripture is absolutely packed with these.
Absolutely. I mean, the Ten Commandments are sort of the foundational example, right? Clear rules, obligations. And it's not just those big ones, is it? The Old Testament law is incredibly detailed, and even Jesus talks about fulfilling the law, though he, reinterprets some of it.
Right.
Now, remember when we talked about deontology before, that focus on inherent duties? How does that show up in Scripture beyond just like explicit commands?
Well, beyond the direct commandments, you see this constant emphasis on principles of justice, fairness, righteousness, all throughout Scripture. These aren't just about achieving a good outcome. They speak to inherent obligations we have, to God and to each other. It's about upholding what is right because it is right.
Okay. So we've got consequences, the impact, and duties, the inherent rightness or wrongness, the rules. The third key component Dr. Spiegel discusses is virtue. What does he mean by that, and how does it differ from the other two?
So virtue in this context, it isn't about specific actions or their outcomes, but about the kind of character traits we should be developing.
Character.
Yeah. Think about qualities like courage, generosity, patience, kindness, self-control. Dr. Spiegel argues that these aren't just like desirable add-ons. They are fundamental to what it means to live a Christian life.
I see.
So maybe the second key insight is ethical living also involves actively cultivating a virtuous character.
And he directly links this to scripture too, doesn't he? Where do we see this emphasis on virtue specifically?
Yes, absolutely. A key example he gives is Paul's description of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians.
Oh, right. Love, joy, peace.
Exactly. Love, joy, peace, patience. These are the characteristics that the Holy Spirit produces in believers, and they are pretty much the definition of a virtuous character. Both the Old and New Testaments encourage us, exhort us, really, to live in ways that reflect these virtues.
So just to make sure I've got this straight, Dr. Spiegel is saying that a full picture of Christian ethics needs to consider not only the results of what we do, utility, and our obligations, duty, but also the kind of person we are becoming, virtue.
Yep.
And his big point is that all three of these threads run throughout the entire Bible.
Exactly. It's not about picking one of these lenses and ignoring the others. Dr. Spiegel argues that all three, utility, duty, and virtue, are consistently present and play a vital role in both the Old and New Testaments. They're all interconnected.
And then Dr. Spiegel brings in the figure of Jesus himself in relation to this eclectic model. Mm-hmm. How does Jesus embody these three aspects?
Yeah, this is a really powerful part of his argument. Dr. Spiegel makes the case that Jesus Christ perfectly embodies all three of these ethical domains.
How so?
Well, think about it. He was completely obedient to God's law, fulfilling every duty that's deontology.
Okay.
Everything he did and said ultimately aimed at bringing good and healing, focusing on positive consequences. That's the utility aspect.
Right, the outcome.
And his character.
Yeah.
Well, it was the flawless expression of all virtues. Patience, love, compassion, courage. You name it.
Hmm. So maybe the third key insight is Jesus himself provides the ultimate model for this integrated ethical approach.
Yes, exactly.
That really does bring it together, doesn't it? Jesus as the living example of this holistic approach. So if Jesus embodies all three, what's Dr. Spiegel's take on ethical frameworks that only emphasize one of these areas?
He's quite clear on that. He believes any ethical theory that focuses exclusively on just one of these, whether it's only about maximizing good outcomes or strictly adhering to rules or solely emphasizing virtue, is going to be an incomplete picture of Christian ethics.
Incomplete.
Yeah, he uses the term truncated, meaning something that's been cut short or limited.
That makes perfect sense, actually. If you only look at consequences, you could potentially justify doing something pretty bad if you thought it led to a good enough outcome.
Right. The ends justifying the means problem.
And if you only focus on rules, you might become rigid, maybe miss opportunities to show compassion in situations the rules don't perfectly cover.
Mm-hmm. Legalism.
And just focusing on, you know, being a good person, virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might not give you clear guidance on specific, tricky ethical dilemmas you face.
Exactly. This eclectic approach allows for a much more nuanced, well-rounded way of thinking about ethical decisions. And what's also quite interesting is that Dr. Spiegel suggests that by taking this integrated view, we can even appreciate valuable insights from major moral theories developed by philosophers, even those who weren't explicitly writing from a Christian perspective.
That's fascinating. He specifically mentions Kant, and arguably Mill, noting that they believed God was essential for ethics. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. So in the case of Immanuel Kant, who's obviously a key figure in emphasizing duty, deontology, he famously argued that God, freedom, and immortality are necessary preconditions for morality to even make sense.
Necessary preconditions? How so?
Well, his reasoning was basically that without God, there's no ultimate authority or judge to guarantee that, in the end, virtue will be rewarded and vice punished.
Oh, okay. Cosmic justice.
Kind of. And without the freedom to choose, we can't really be held morally responsible for our actions. And without immortality, there's no sufficient time frame for moral perfection to actually be achieved or for justice to be fully realized. So for Kant, God was really a foundational element for a coherent ethical system.
Interesting. And what about Aristotle? He's often associated with virtue ethics. Dr. Spiegel mentioned his theistic leanings.
Yeah, well, Aristotle's understanding of God is definitely different from the Christian one, but Dr. Spiegel points to Aristotle's concept of teleology.
Teleology, the idea that everything has a purpose.
Exactly. The idea that everything has an inherent purpose or end goal, a telos. You could argue, and some do, that this ultimate purpose implies some kind of ultimate designer or first mover, a divine intelligence that sets things in motion and gives them their purpose.
Hmm. Okay.
So even in his philosophical framework, there's a connection, although it's a different kind, to the idea of a divine ground for meaning and purpose, which you could argue extends to ethics as well.
So this eclectic approach not only blends different ethical considerations within a Christian framework, but also finds these interesting points of connection with philosophical traditions that, you know, in many cases saw some role for the divine in ethics.
Right.
Now, Dr. Spiegel then shifts gears a bit to the question of how God actually communicates his moral will to us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he proposes an eclectic perspective here, too.
He does. He argues that, okay, if we're talking about Christian ethics, we're ultimately trying to understand God's moral will. So the crucial question becomes, how does God make this will known to humanity?
Right. How do we know what God wants?
Yeah. And Dr. Spiegel suggests we can draw valuable insights from both natural law ethics and divine command ethics.
Okay, let's break those down. What does he mean by natural law in this context?
So natural law here is the idea that God's moral will is revealed, at least in part, through the created order itself, through principles that are inherent in nature and in our own human nature.
Okay. Like a moral code built into the universe.
Kind of, yeah. Discoverable through reason and observation. This includes both primary precepts, really basic moral principles like do good, avoid evil, and secondary precepts, which are more specific applications derived from those basic ones.
So it's like there are fundamental moral truths we can grasp just by understanding how the world works and what it means to be human, even apart from the Bible.
Precisely. And Dr. Spiegel connects this back to our earlier discussion. He suggests that natural law gives us insights into which actions tend to lead to human flourishing and well-being that links back to utility, the consequences.
I see the connection.
He also connects it to our innate sense of right and wrong. He references John Calvin's idea of a sensus divinitatis, like a natural awareness of God.
Right, the sense of the divine.
And the conscience God has given us, which makes us aware of basic moral obligations that ties into duty deontology.
Interesting. So our internal moral compass, our conscience, could be seen as part of this natural law revelation.
That's the idea. And he even extends it to virtue, suggesting that our natural human admiration for people who demonstrate virtuous character traits, courage, justice, kindness, can be seen as another way God reveals his moral will through natural law. We inherently recognize goodness.
Okay, that makes sense. So God's moral truth is accessible, at least partly, through the natural order, through reason, conscience, observing human flourishing. What about special revelation?
So special revelation in this context refers to the more direct ways God communicates his moral will to us, specifically through the Old and New Testaments, through the scriptures. The Bible, yes. And Dr. Spiegel really emphasizes the wide variety of literary styles within the Bible. You've got historical narratives, poetry, prophecy, letters, apocalyptic literature.
And his point is that these different kinds of writing convey ethical truths in different ways. Is that it?
Exactly. He points out that in the historical accounts, we often see the consequences of actions playing out very clearly. We see what leads to good outcomes, what leads to disaster again, linking back to utility.
Okay. Story is moral lesson.
Right. Then, of course, we have the direct commands and laws, the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, etc., which clearly delineate our duties and obligations. That's the deontological part.
Got it.
And finally, the various stories and descriptions of individuals, both those who lived righteously, like Moses or David or Ruth, and those who didn't, the negative examples.
Like Haman or Judas or Pharaoh.
Precisely. Those portraits provide us with concrete examples of virtue and vice in action. They show us what character looks like, good and bad.
So whether we're looking at the life of David, the teachings of Jesus, or even those cautionary tales of figures like King Herod or Pilate, we're learning about what it looks like to live ethically, both in terms of our actions and our character.
Exactly. These scriptural examples really flesh out what virtue and vice look like in real life, giving us concrete illustrations to guide our own character development and choices.
Okay, so let me try and summarize Dr. Spiegel's whole argument here. This eclectic model of Christian ethics brings together these three essential aspects, considering consequences, utility, fulfilling our duties, deontology, and cultivating virtue character.
Mm-hmm.
All three are strongly supported throughout Scripture, Old and New Testaments, and they're all perfectly exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And this model also recognizes that we can learn about God's moral will through both the natural order, natural law, and through his specific revelation in the Bible, special revelation.
That's a really great summary. He presents this integrated approach as the most comprehensive and biblically grounded way to understand and live out a Christian ethical life. It avoids the pitfalls of focusing too narrowly on just one aspect.
Okay, so we've taken a really thorough deep dive into Dr. Spiegel's eclectic model of Christian ethics. We've looked at why he thinks this multifaceted approach is necessary, the three key pillars, utility, duty, virtue, how they're backed by Scripture, embodied by Jesus.
Why focusing on just one is insufficient, the interesting connections to philosophical thought.
And the dual sources of ethical knowledge and natural law and special revelation. Yeah, quite a bit.
And what's so valuable about this framework, I think, is that it encourages us to think broadly and deeply about ethical decisions. It prompts us to consider not just one angle, but the interconnectedness of consequences, obligations, and character.
Right. So for you, our listener, here's maybe a thought to consider as you go about your day. How might this more comprehensive understanding of ethics, thinking about the impact of your actions, your responsibilities, and the kind of person you're striving to be, how might that lead to richer, maybe more balanced moral choices in your own life?
Mm.
How might you actually see utility, duty, and virtue playing out, maybe interacting in the specific situations you encounter today or this week?
It's a good challenge.
Yeah, it's really about moving beyond maybe a simplistic checklist of rules. Or just focusing only on the outcomes towards a more integrated and thoughtful approach to living ethically. Something to mull over.